long already I had come to know.
Oh, maybe you did know the Lord.
Oh, I thought.
Okay, there are two questions that we want to answer in this lesson on tonight, and I found it interesting. As you well know, this is the third time, so to speak, that I've been dealing with reading the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And the reason why I said third time is because I'm talking about from just starting from Genesis to Revelation. I've been really seriously, I'll say, studying the scriptures since 1992. When I accepted what I had been called to do, I've been knowing pretty much all my life, but come to the conclusion that I got to do this. It was in 1992, and so I've covered a lot of information, a lot of things in the scripture, but officially, I've read from Genesis to Revelation, chapter by chapter, three times. The first time it took me, first time I did it was in 2000. It took me 12 years to do it, studying chapter by chapter, verse by verse, practically word by word. And then when I finished in 2012, I started again. And because of understanding some things a little bit more clear, it took me 5 years to do it the second time. And I finished in 2017. First time from 2012. Second time from 2012 to 2017, and then I started again. So covering a lot of information, and it's just unique. If he's not going to do right, just take him out. Just dealing with some things from a perspective of understanding and just things that things that I've just seeing more from understanding the scriptures more and more. And it's just amazing to get the level of understanding that I did for those 12 years, and then come back 5 years later and get even a deeper understanding. And as I'm going over these books again, officially starting, I think, in 2018, this year, even more understanding is coming. And so it's like each time I do it, more and more things come about from a perspective of understanding. Now, in looking at Exodus chapter 4 is what I want to deal with. And there are two questions that I want to address. The first question is from a perspective of Moses. You get a lot of people said Moses was he had a speech impediment, and then you get some that say he didn't. We want to look at that. And the second thing in the same chapter we're going to look at is from the perspective of in that same chapter the scripture says that Yah sought to kill him. And so we're going to answer those two questions by letting the scripture interpret itself, and we'll look at some things in detail to come to the understanding that Yahweh has deemed necessary for us to see. We'll let the scripture interpret itself. But again, there are a lot of commentation on this and different perspectives on it, but again, we're just going to do it according to 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, and Isaiah 20 and 10. Isaiah 20 and 10 says, for precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 basically says there is no scripture that is of any private interpretation, but men were inspired by Yah to speak these things. And so we're going to pray and seek the wisdom of Yah that He give us the understanding that, again, that's necessary for us to move forth and move forth in truth. Father Yah, we bless Your name on today. We thank You for just another opportunity to get into Your Word. We seek wisdom and understanding. Yah, just lead and guide us in all truth. Give us the wisdom also to adjust as we come into our understanding of the scriptures. And we bless You for that. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen. All right. Okay, so again, we'll start at Exodus chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 1. Exodus 4, verse 1 says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. This is when he has the encounter in chapter 3. We're not going to go there for the sake of the time, unless leads us into it being it being necessary for us to do so. Again, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, Yah had not appeared unto thee. And Yah said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground, and he cast it on the ground. And he became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. Verse 4 says, and Yah said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may know. And as you see the colon there, it was the proof to the children of Israel that Yah was with Moses in sending him to deliver the people out of the hands of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Verse 5 says that they may believe Yah, God of their fathers, the Yah of Abraham, the Yah of Isaac, and the Yah of Jacob, has appeared unto thee. As a matter of fact, to encourage you from this perspective, I'm trying to remember if it's in this particular chapter or it may be in chapter 3. And so we just kind of scan there a little bit just to make sure. It is in chapter 3 when verse 14, just Exodus 3, verse 14 says, and Yah said unto Moses, well, I'll go up to verse 13. And Moses said unto Yah, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the Yah of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? what shall I say unto them? And Yah said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me. Has sent me unto you. Yah was saying to Moses, I am that I am. And you see the colon here, as he continued with the conversation, he said, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. And Yah said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, the Yah God of your fathers, the Yah of Abraham, the Yah of Isaac, and the Yah of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This my name forever, and this my memorial unto all generations. So when you look at it, he is the I am, the highest. Especially when you look at it here, the I am is the highest. And so when he says, in that verse, I am has sent me, he's letting them know that he's higher. I am higher, okay? I am that I am, so it's higher, higher. And so so from that perspective, he's letting Moses know who he is, and you see him confirms it again over in chapter 4 of Exodus. And and there are a lot of times when I pray and I acknowledge him from a heritage point of view, whereas I will call upon him and I will remind him, not like he's forgotten, but I'll remind him from a perspective of covenant relationship that he is the God of my father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To put in or to hold forth the covenant by which he has established with us as a nation of people, as well as acknowledging him that he is the God of our fathers, you know, our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I'll do that sometimes, and I'll say, okay, you know, I come to you as the God of my fathers, you know, my God, you know, and acknowledge him from that standpoint. And when we approach him in certain ways, knowing who we are, as well as knowing who he is to us, then it comes with an authority that is not of the norm. All of us can pray. Every nation of people can pray, but it takes it to a whole new level, so to speak. When we come to him as the seed of Abraham, and put in remembrance things concerning the covenant that he made with us as a nation of people. And what I mean by put in remembrance is not that he's forgotten, it's just that he has sought the children of Israel who understands he's seeking for the nation of Israel who understands and remember what he remembers. So we put it to his remembrance is not necessarily that he has forgotten from the perspective of how we would forget. They're putting him in remembrance, and from our perspective, you got to know who you are in order to put him in remembrance of things. Even as far as anyone who has been redeemed because they believe that that Christ, the Messiah, the Mashiach, died for their sins, then it puts them in a position now where through whether they're Jew or Greek, Gentile, then they're able to acknowledge Yah through these different facets of relationship and stuff like that. So I just say that I just do that at times. I'll go to Yah and I acknowledge that I know who I am and I know who you are based upon what you've been to my father. And because of that, I am holding forth my covenant rights, my divine order as a son of the nation of your chosen people. So I do that at times. Okay, so verse 5 again says that they may believe that Yah God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And Yah said, furthermore, put now thine hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, it was leprous as snow. So it lets us know what leprosy is. And when you look at the word snow, it means leaven. Leaven to a certain perspective, or whiteness, as it has sheleg here. But also leaven can also be considered as white, I believe. Let me just check it here and make sure. We'll come back to it. I may need to check all of them, and I'm not going to do it for the sake of the time. Let me see. And I may just be over.
What did it say when you put
it on that? It just says a letter of Mesopotamia. Yeah, quite. I just didn't continue to run it all the way back. And so, and that's why we have to read it. So it's leaven, but then as you see it, just to show you, it says the same as 38:36. So when you look at 38:36 in the Hebrew and click on it, it says white. And so you know, I just wanted to show you that. And so leaven, as you run it back to its original Hebrew origin, it does point out that leaven is white. Okay? And so as you see it here, y'all bear with me, so I'll get back to my verse. Yeah, and as you see, it says white as snow. So when you look at it, it says whiteness, and it also says meaning, or a primitive root probably meaning to be white. Okay, and so it's showing you the combinations of the word that means whiteness, shalag, it means snow or whiteness, to show you that what leprosy is, okay? And so his hand was leprous as white or whiteness, okay? Leprous as snow, okay? And then it said, he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. As his other flesh. Now, in order to understand to understand what leaven is like, simply because there are the people that claim it to be who are considered whiteness or from the perspective of whiteness European. How can we determine the color of Moses' skin? The scripture reveals to us the color of Moses' skin. Okay? Now, and Yah is just leading me down this path. I had no plans of going here, but I have to do this in order to show you this here. Exodus chapter 2. So I'll pull up Exodus chapter 2. And I'm just following y'all now to show you how to know. The scripture identifies his color, but in order for you to see it, we have to study the words. That's why we do that. And that's why it has taken me so long to finish the Bible from just Revelation. You know, a person can read through it in a short period of time, but when you study every word, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So how do we know, and I'll read verse 7 again to the right of the screen, and then we'll look at verse 19 to the left of the screen, okay? Exodus 4, verse 7, Yah says to Moses, and he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand in his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Y'all saying it here. So we know it was white as snow in verse 6. He pulled his hand in his bosom, taped it out. It's not as his other flesh. What is the color of his other flesh? You can see it in verse, we'll start at verse 16, Exodus chapter 2. It says, now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. Now, stand in here. Now, when we look at the definition of Egyptian, it means Mizraim. We'll click it here, and we'll continue to run it back to its origin. It says Mizraim, or the inhabitants of Mizraim, Egyptians of Egypt. You click on this here, it says, in the sense of a limit, Egypt as a border. And you continue to run it. It says mound, it's running back the definition. And as you continue to do it, it continues to give you definitions of it. But in order just to deal with it in its easiest form, you go and you have to go to Genesis chapter 10, and we've dealt with this before. And when you look at the descendants of Ham, you see here again Mizraim. Okay, Mizraim or Mizram. Mizraim. And as you look at it, they said here, a Mizrai, or as you see it in the definition, Mizraim. Okay, Mizraim, same one. Mizraim here. You see there's a slight change here, but when you look at the definition, it shows you Mizraim, so it's the same one. So they said concerning Moses that he was a descendant of Ham. They said an Egyptian. They said Mizraim delivered us. Mizraim, Cush, Ham descendant, the father of the dark race. Okay? An Egyptian delivered us. So they could not tell the difference between an Egyptian and a Hebrew. Okay? Even when we go back, and I'm going to show you just some other things, when you look at concerning Moses in Exodus chapter 1, you look at Exodus chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing? Because as you look, he said, I want you to kill all the boys. When the boys are born, kill them. They kill them. But if there be daughters, then she shall live. Okay, we're seeing the men of Israel being destroyed, boys and men of Israel being destroyed. Even to this day. But the midwives feared Yah. Okay, but when you get to verse 18, the king asked the midwives and said, "Why had ye done this thing?" But they were not killing them. They kept the men alive when you look at verse 17. Okay, verse 19, and the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew, so I let you know Hebrew and Israel are one and the same here. Now, as you look at it here, it's actually in the chapter where I was looking for it, in chapter 2. And so as you look at it here, Moses is put in the Nile River, okay? You see, his mother conceived him. I'm just taking you kind of fast with this because this is not what I want to deal with. But I have to go this route. Daughter Pharaoh comes down to wash herself at the river, Nile, okay? And she sees this basket, okay? You see here in verse 3, when his mother could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes. They sent him down the river. As they sent him down the river, it said, when she, as in Pharaoh's daughter, verse 5, when she saw the child, Moses, he was weeping, and she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. So she know what Moses is. She know he's one of the Hebrew children. His sister follows along here. As Pharaoh's daughter, do you want to get a Hebrew woman? Because she sent it right back to her mom, to his mom, to raise him. Okay, she raised him and she took him back to Pharaoh's daughter, okay? So Pharaoh's daughter agreed to take the child away, verse 9. Woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, knowing that he was a Hebrew. And he became her son. So you have a Hebrew who becomes the son of Pharaoh's daughter, okay? Who becomes the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and she named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. Moses means drawn out, okay? Draw out, okay? And so I'm showing you here how Exodus 2, verse 19, points out and show that your Egyptians and your Hebrews are the same has the same physical appearance. Same way we dealt with Paul during the Sabbath service, he was called an Egyptian, so they have the same physical appearance. So because your Egyptians are a dark race of people, black, Moses here is a black man in Exodus 4 who puts his hand in his bosom and draws it out, and it's white like snow. So you, so the reason why it was such a miracle is because it is like a so-called Negro putting his hand in his bosom and taking it out, and it's white as snow. Well, that's going to get somebody's attention. You put his hand back in, it comes out, it is as his other flesh. In other words, as him being called an Egyptian, knowing that history has pointed out, when you look at your ancient Egyptian, they were a dark race people. It lets you know that, so I'm not going to say dark race, because you get people that use that as a catchphrase and call Egyptians today a dark brown tone. He was black. Okay? We're just going to call it as it is.
Today is
not the same whatsoever. You have, there are a lot of things going on with that. Ellen and I was having a conversation on yesterday, so y'all going to deal with about the stuff. We're going to come back as he lead us to do it. And so when you look at that, I just want to take time to show you that your Hebrews, now you have the tribe of Levi, Moses comes from, is identified as an Egyptian, black. You have the tribe of Benjamin, who had close relationship with the tribe of Judah and commingled, who was identified as an Egyptian, black. Your children of Israel, your ancient children of Israel, are one and the same as they are even to this day. Okay?
And all their fathers is identified as black.
All their fathers.
Not just those specific tribes.
All their fathers. And so this has to be accepted. It has to be understood, what is going on and why these things are there. The scripture reveals the truth. We just have to accept it. All, in other words, anybody who want to operate in righteousness, whether they are so-called Negroes, Caucasians, any other nationality of people, if they want to operate in righteousness, they have to accept it as the truth. The scripture lays it out, and the truth is there, and it's time out for all excuses. It's time out for us just kind of tiptoeing around this thing. We got to call it as it is and walk in the righteousness that's necessary in order for y'all chosen people to be accepted by those who are called to be a part of the righteous that you find in Matthew 25 that are called sheep when that day comes when he separates the sheep from the goats, so to speak. It has to be explained to them from that perspective so they can know the truth and be set free. It is what it is, y'all. And this has nothing to do with being prejudiced or, you know, all these other things that a person would throw at this truth. It's just truth. Truth don't have to be danced around. It don't have to be propped up. You don't have to come up with all these excuses. All you have to do is look at it for what it is and see it exactly for what it is, okay? Now, as we get out of Exodus chapter 2, Elder, if you have anything, you know, feel free to stop and then you had anything along the things I've been dealing with thus far? Is there anything that you had in mind? Okay. So we'll move back to Exodus chapter 4 just to show you these things now.
Well, just one comment.
Go ahead.
The reason why she knew he was a Hebrew because he was in the water. Cause nobody else wasn't getting rid of their kids.
Exactly. Exactly. And so she knows.
Find a bed and baby, right. An indication it's probably Hebrew.
You know, because like he's saying, there's no reason for an Egyptian to put their child in a little ark and send him down the river, unless they're trying to protect their child. And that's why she took him, gave him right back to his mother. His sister is following him along the river. They didn't just abandon him. His sister was right there to see what would happen to him. And once the Pharaoh's daughter got him, she ran up there and said, "You want me to get one of the Hebrew women to take care of him?" She was like, "Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm gonna pay her to do it." So Moses' mom got paid to raise her own child, the servant Pharaoh, that she brought him to him, and he became her son. So because he became her son, guess what? He became Pharaoh's son. And Pharaoh couldn't identify the difference. You know, you have to understand how things worked back then. Pharaoh may have had multiple wives, may have had multiple daughters, and it wasn't like he was just going around just saying, you know, like it was the relationship I have with my girls, for her to be able to take a child and bring him around as a son and let you know he wasn't spending a whole lot of time with his daughter. Not even though she was pregnant. So they just point these things out. Pharaoh even acknowledged him as his grandson and would not have known it until Moses killed the Egyptian and the information got out that he was who he was. He had sleep. Okay? Now, and this is the incident that happens after he flees and was gone for a period of time. Okay? Now, as we again move through this here, verse 8 said, "It came to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, and they will believe the voice of the latter sign, for they are in their bosom. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice." Now, notice what Yah is saying here, so I'm going to kind of jump ahead of myself, because there are two questions that we need to answer. Did Moses have a speech impediment? Did he stutter or did he these things? Or was it something else going on? And did God seek to kill Moses? Those are two questions, okay? Now notice here we start to get a sign of this of the answer to one of these questions here. It says verse 9 says, "It shall come to pass, they will not believe also these signs, neither hearken unto thy voice." And so Yah is coming across like he's sending Moses to speak to these people. So Yah's telling Moses, "You're going to go, and you're going to tell the people, and you're going to show these signs." Okay? And so I'm going to say that for now, and then we'll come back to it. Okay? He said, "If they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry." You know, Moses did these miracles, okay, these signs. That's what signs are. They're miracles, okay? As you look at signs, they're omens, miracles. So these are signs, okay? The blood moons and all that we've been seeing, these are signs, these are miracles. God is doing that. Ain't no son. It's Yah. Okay? Now, verse 10 said, "Moses said unto Yah, O my Lord, I am not eloquent." Here it is. "Neither heretofore." Heretofore can imply 3 days, and it also can imply time past. Okay? And so this is the verse we're really going to do a lot of concentration on. Okay? Moses said unto Yah, "I am not eloquent." Eloquent is the bar. Okay? He says, "I'm not eloquent here." I'm going to see if I can, I may have to make this smaller to see all of the definitions here.
Let's scroll down.
Okay.
Let the thing be down. Let the word be down lower.
Okay, I got you. Okay, good. Okay, so as you look at it, it says the ball. I am not the ball. It says a word by implication, a matter as spoken of or thing. It says act, advice, affair. So when you look at Moses is saying something that appears to be different than what has been said concerning Moses. But we have to let the scripture reveal this here. So as you look at it, it says a call. I am not eloquent. I am not able to bring a call, an act, or advice. I'm not able to handle this affair. Business. Okay? You look at it, it says commune. It also deals with communication. It also says oracle. You know, if you see some other words that need to be pulled out, then pull out. It also says concerning. As you look toward the bottom, it says times they're done thing concerning thought. I am not eloquent. So when you look at eloquence, it doesn't necessarily give an issue with the actual speech, but there are people who are eloquent in handling the affairs from a perspective of things spoken. In other words, you may have someone who may sit where I'm sitting, and they may not have the eloquence to deliver from a perspective of drawing in to bring understanding, like I can or Elder can or someone who is gifted to speak eloquent about a subject matter. You may have somebody who know how to write and divide the scriptures, but in convincing somebody, they don't have the gift of eloquence. And so what he's saying is, I'm not able to handle these affairs, because when you go back, and remember when we said in reference to verse 9, he says, and it came to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice. So it's not like Yah has a problem with his voice. Moses himself is having an issue. Okay? Moses himself is having an issue. Look at what verse 10 said. Moses said unto Yah, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, times past. You know, you can't say 3 days, but I'm gonna just pull up verse 10. Yes, it does say up to this point. Also from a perspective of having this encounter with Yah. Can you imagine being in the presence of the Most High Yah? Moses is saying, okay, neither heretofore, which means from the same sense, it says yesterday, 3 days, time, it also means plus time past. So it is a combination of things. Can you imagine we're dealing with the Most High God, and he's giving you instructions to do, and that instructions is so awesome, and you having to go back to Pharaoh, and these people who you fled from, and then take into consideration that I'm not going to get ahead of myself without using the scriptures here. So I'm going to go to Acts chapter 7. Just a look at this. Acts 7 verse 22. I believe it's Stephen when he was talking about, Stephen. He's talking about Moses. When you get to verse 22, he tells of Moses' education and his ability, so to speak. Verse 22 said, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Okay? And was mighty in word and in deed. So when you look at the mighty in word and deed, let's just look at some things in verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom, okay, higher or lower, worldly. Could be spiritual, but it's worldly because it's Egyptian. Okay? The Egyptian, it said he was mighty, okay, powerful or capable, okay? He was mighty, he was strong in words. When you look at the logo, so when you look at it, it says topic, including thought. It says something said, including thought. Moses, so when you look at it, it says he was mighty in word and in deed. So when you look at it, it says mighty in word, or when you look at mighty, it means powerful, capable, could, that is mighty man, powerful, power, strong. So it lets you know his strength was in his ability to speak. Something said, by implication, a topic. Moses was knowledgeable in the topic concerning the Egyptians. So when Moses was in these cities as his position as Pharaoh's grandson, when he spoke, it was powerful. He was educated. He knew what he was talking about. But now can you imagine him on the backside of his mountain for all this time, and he's having to go back and deal with some things that he's not versed in, educated in? He's raised up in the house of Moses, but he's having to go back and talk to the nation of Israel. They said to him, he asked them, okay, who am I going to send me? I'm not versed in knowing who you are from a perspective. All signs point to this is his first real encounter with the Most High Yah. So when you look at it from that perspective, it is someone who has come into contact with the God of his father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's having to go back to his brethren to explain to them that Yah has sent him to deliver them, and he's not comfortable with the topic. He's saying, wait a minute, I'm not first, I'm first an Egyptian. I'm educated as an Egyptian. I'm eloquent as an Egyptian. Now, if you want to get me on that topic, I can break it down. But now you're sending me to my people. I'm on the backside of the mountains. I'm among these Midianites. And so that's another language I've dealt with all these years. Then I was raised up as an Egyptian, speaking that language, and dealing with things from that perspective. And then now I got to go back and speak to my brethren and tell them that the Most High Yah has sent me to them. You got to send somebody else, man. I am not eloquent enough to do it. Okay? So when you look at it in verse 22, it is showing, again, Acts 7, and Moses was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptians, not the Hebrew. He wasn't raised up. He was 3 months old, I believe, when he was put in that thing, and I don't know how old he was, so I'm being very careful about that. He could have been learned in some things as far as the nation of Israel or the Hebrews was concerned, because it doesn't really say how long he was in his parents' house, okay? And so he could have, especially for him to be able to go and spy out his brethren, he knew something about him, but he was not as versed in it as it was concerning the Egyptian education. And so you're dealing with a man now. When we go back and look at it in chapter 4, you're looking at a man who's saying, verse 10, and Moses said unto Yah, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore in times past, since I've been dealing with you. You're talking about stuff I don't have a clue about. All time you've been dealing with it. It wasn't that Yah just dealt with him for a minute. You know, for a few minutes, and Yah may have been dealing with him for some days. And so he's saying, I'm not eloquent in this subject matter, in dealing with this issue. Okay, when we look at the word eloquent, again, verse 10, is that I'm not eloquent. I got to scroll down. Keep me on course. I got a little bit more. So he said, I'm not eloquent. Look at the words again. A word, by implication, I'm a matter. He's saying, I can't handle this situation. I'm not versed enough to speak on this subject matter. I don't feel like I have the authority and the proven of words to be able to go and say, can you imagine Yah sending you to somebody that that, you know, that you fled from years ago, and you got to go back now and tell them that God sent me to deliver y'all? He said, by implication, a matter, as spoken of, or a thing, I'm not eloquent in this thing. Okay? I'm not eloquent in this business. I'm not eloquent in this chronicle, commandment. I'm not eloquent to go and counsel this here. Okay? Well, sin, I'm not eloquent. You see in other words now pertaining to this subject. As you see the word pertaining, purpose, reason, report, request. I'm not eloquent in this here. Man, I've been on the backside of the mountain the past 4 years, almost sitting in sheep. Most time by myself, man. Now you said to me before the highest level of education and authority that exists in the world during that time, to Pharaoh and the people who I'm their brethren, but I just don't feel like I'm adequate. So as you continue to read on, he said, Moses said unto Yah, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, colon. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. In what? In this business matter. Not that he was saying, so let's look at the word slow. Ted, you have something?
Did he know Hebrew? What was he supposed to speak in Hebrew?
See, that's the thing. That's the eloquence that he's talking about.
So if he having to translate, or he don't know Hebrew that well.
There you go.
It could be slow of speech from that perspective.
That's exactly what it is, son. And so as we look at it here, that's what he's referring to. It's not that he's saying, you know, he gets there, it's not that he started like tradition teachers. He's saying, look, I was raised up an Egyptian. I speak Egyptian. Now I'm out here all this time dealing with these Midianites. I learned the language that they speak. And now I got to go back and deal with my brethren and be able to communicate with them in Hebrew concerning what y'all said to me. That's the eloquent he's talking about. So the slow of speech is just like you and I are slow of speech when we speak Spanish, if you don't speak Spanish. I'm slow of speech. Brainerd Diaz.
But even so, it is, when you look at it from that perspective of the slow of speech, when you're fluent in something, you can think in that language.
There you go.
You don't have to translate on the fly. When you just learning a language, you don't always think in that language. So mentally, you think in whatever language you know, and you try to verbally translate.
Yes.
Which can make it be a slow process.
Exactly.
Not like it just come off the frame that way.
Exactly. Now let's go back to eloquent again. Eloquent means now. When you look at the word eloquent, it means from a perspective of advice. It also points out language, speech, thought, as you mentioned.
And so, just a comment along those lines, based on even what we dealt with up until this point, for somebody to say, well, they spoke the same language. Well, according to what we dealt with in Genesis 11, we know that the Israelites are descendants of Shem, mm-hmm. and that language and that tongue is different than Mizraim, who
yes.
is the descendant of Ham,
right.
who after Babel, they spoke different languages.
Different language.
So if we got two different people, even though they look similar, we know at least at that point they speak two different languages.
Exactly. Same way as we see today. That's why when you look at verse 22 again, it's to confirm what Elder had mentioned from the perspective of words, that he was mighty in words. When you look at mighty in words, it says by implication, topic, thought. In other words, he could discuss a topic and his thought process was together with his topic. If I got to communicate and I communicate with African, people who speak African dialect, and I speak with a lot of them, and when they start speaking and I'd be like, okay, what does this mean? And when they ask me to say those words, I have to think it out. I am slow of speech. I am slow of language. When I speak to someone who speaks Spanish, I am slow of speech. I pull out a frugal word, but I would not be comfortable going and speaking to be an audience who speaks solely Spanish. I would be so uncomfortable, like, man, I ain't gonna do that. Man, all I know is Buenos Dias and como está saying like that. And I gotta think, oh, what knows me? I am not eloquent in Spanish. I would go and talk about, you know, unless the Spirit of Yah come up on me, but without the Spirit of Yah, I would go and talk to an audience in Spanish, and there would be no power whatsoever. Them people looking at me wouldn't get much of nothing. They'd be looking at me like I'm crazy. But let me go up in there with that same message, speaking it in English. I do not have to think because it is my language. I can speak it from an eloquent point of view, meaning that I can speak it with authority, and my thought process is in line with that authority, and I don't have to think about it. It just flows. I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech. I got to be sitting down around, look, I'm just paraphrasing Moses, like, look here, y'all. I gotta be opening up the dictionary saying, okay, what the word mean right here so I can say I'm slow off speech. These folks gonna be looking at me like, man, God ain't came. God didn't come to you. Throw some words to them. King has all right. From a perspective of speak the language, even let us know that I am that I am. Higher came to me and told me to come to y'all. That is the eloquence that he's talking about. And we're going to further allow the scriptures in front. You have something else? Okay. Now, verse 10 again. And Moses said unto Yah, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore on the subject matter. I wasn't eloquent 3 days ago. I wasn't eloquent in the time fast. Whatever time frame it was, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I still don't know what's going on. I'm still slow of speech and slow of tongue on the subject matter. Look what Yah said. And Yah said unto him, who has made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing? Because he used these dumb or deaf or seeing, it is not for us to take it that Moses was either one. He's saying, I can deal with all of it. If you're dumb, I can make it to where you can hear and see and also talk. Who made all things? If I can deal with them, I can show up, deal with you, and talk to the children of Israel. I can give you the ability to communicate with your people. So this is a confidence issue that's going on with Moses. He says, all the blind. He's giving examples. Who made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, Yah? Have not I the I am? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth. You go, and I'm going to give you the eloquence to say what you got to say. I'm going to give you the thought. I'm going to give you the wisdom to communicate the language to do whatever is necessary for this to take place. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Had nothing to do with no stuttering. Moses didn't know how to communicate with his people to the point to where it was eloquent enough for them to receive that God had said it. I'm going to teach you what to say. Look what Moses said. This is a confidence issue. Verse 13, and he said, oh, my Lord, then I pray thee by the hand of him who thou wilt send. Send somebody else. And the anger of Yah was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? Now, I remind you, Aaron is in Egypt. Yah speaks to Aaron and tell Aaron to go look for his brother. You see that later on in these verses. Aaron is already on his way. God's already sending Aaron to him. He knows kind of by Moses' operation. So he said, your brother already on his way. And as we look in other verses, he tells his brother Aaron, he said, go and find Moses. So So Aaron is already on his way looking for him, but Yah has already spoken to him to send it. Okay? Now, or at least going to speak to him, either way, it's kind of hard to say, but I believe it is that case. I think it's in this verse. I think it's in this book here. I think it's in this book. If not, we can definitely.
So the anger issue from Yah's perspective is the lack of confidence of Moses in Yah's ability to carry it out.
That's what you're looking at. Okay? And so Yah's angry with him, and he says, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. What well?
Hebrew.
You may not speak it well, but he's speaking well. He's coming to meet you. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. So, yeah, he has already been commissioned by Yah to come forth to see. So that's why he's coming. He speaks Hebrew. He's coming to meet his brother Moses. And Yah has sent him. Yah is sending him to do it. Okay? Verse 15 says, thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth.
So basically, Aaron is translating.
Exactly. That's what he's doing.
Because Yah is speaking to Moses, and Moses, apparently, Aaron knows both of them.
Yes.
And so Moses speaks to him in Egyptian, and Aaron is speaking in Hebrew.
Exactly. Now, and here's the kicker. Moses is able to explain to Aaron because Aaron is in Egypt, so he knows Egyptian too. He's dealing with the Egyptian in the land of Egypt, but he also has his native language as the Hebrew. And so you're looking at the combination of two, and so that's why Moses is able to tell him things. Moses may have spoken some Hebrew, I don't know, but not eloquent enough. So they're communicating in whatever language they're doing, but the point is getting across. Okay, every time we were in captivity, we learned the language of our captors, although we still spoke Hebrew. Sometimes we lost that language.
And with him being, you know, Pharaoh's daughter's child, it may have been less on him to even keep the Hebrew.
Exactly.
You know how much he even dealt with the Hebrew
exactly.
in general.
Exactly. Now,
if he ever learned
it. If he ever learned it, you just never know. We don't know how old he was, at least at this point, when his mother took him to Pharaoh. To Pharaoh's daughter. Okay? Verse 15, and thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. Moses was getting taught how to handle the affairs of Yah. Edifice. Okay? Verse 16, and he shall be thy spokesperson unto the people, Hebrew, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. Again, and he shall be thy spokesperson unto the people, colon, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. In other words, Aaron is going to speak for you. He's your mouthpiece. And thou shalt be to him instead of Yah. In other words, instead of Aaron going to Yah, Yah said, no, well, I'm going to tell you. And when you tell him, he's going to go and say, God said it. Moses was Yah's mouthpiece, and Aaron was Moses' mouthpiece. That's what he's saying in verse 16. Verse 17, stop me if you had anything else.
It just made me. Well, it's not no topic, but just made me wonder if later on this process is what made Aaron along with Miriam say, well, God deal with me also later on.
Probably so.
Because this is going on.
Verse 17 says, thou shalt take this rod in thine hand wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren, which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Now, I don't know exactly if Aaron was there, but I believe that he was at this point until the scripture reveals anything different, okay? Verse 19, and Yah said unto Moses, in Midian, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Everybody dead now. And Moses took his wife and his son and set them up on an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of Yah in his hand. And Yah said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. Yah knew his heart, but he wasn't going to change. So we look at that. Yah gets the glory for everything. So it appears that Yah said, I'm going to make him know it's in Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a hardened heart, okay?
I mean, you can't, it had to already be there, put him in hardened.
Yes. And so that's how I want you to know. See, he didn't have no choice. No, he did. He had a choice. He was just a wicked Pharaoh. Verse 22 says, thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus said Yah, Israel is my son. The nation, he's saying, tell them the nation of Israel, but he's saying Israel the man to let it know his descendants. All of Israel is my firstborn. And say unto thee, let my son Israel go, that he, the whole nation, may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, the whole nation go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Yah had initially told Pharaoh from the very beginning, if you don't let him go, I'm going to kill your son. I'll show you how stubborn Pharaoh was. To let him know how serious it was. Okay? Verse 23. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now, here's the second. We've answered the first one. Now, here's the second. And it came to pass, by the way in the end, that Yah met him and sought to kill him. We need to answer this question now. Did Yah seek to kill Moses? Now, this when we studied precept upon precept, line upon line, just like we just did with his speech, it causes us to see the truth and to be able to dissect it and to understand how it's vitally important to study every word. That's why it's taken me so long. That's why I mentioned it first in the lesson. So, as we look at it, it changes in verse 23 to verse 24, and it says this just out of the blue. Moses on his way to tell Pharaoh, and it said it came to pass. So I'll let you know some time went by. And it came to pass by the way in the end that Yah met him and sought to kill him. We got to answer this question. Did Yah seek to kill Moses or was it someone else? We got to answer this. How do we answer? We let the scripture interpret. The only way to do it is to keep going. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son. So we see son, and we see him, and we see him. So we know that the son is him, and the boy took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet. Y'all see it here. And said, surely a bloody husband, so we know his feet is Moses' feet. And said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. How can we prove that this is Moses? Look at the next verse. So he let him go. So we got a he and a him. Who let who go?
Moses let his son go.
So who is him in verse 24 and him in verse 24? Who is him and him? Since we know that there is a him and a he and a him. This is how we got to study the scripture.
Okay.
Now, look at, I'm going to help you with this nugget here. I'm going to give you a nugget, and then you should be able to answer the question. I'm going to let y'all answer it without me just outright telling you. Genesis 17, we're going to look at verse 7. This is Yah dealing with Abraham, our father Abraham. He establishes the covenant with our father Abraham. Genesis 17, verse 7. He says in verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and thee. Yah is the me, thee is Moses, and thy seed is Israel. Okay, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. And thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee, thus the father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? Verse 8. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Verse 9. And Yah said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Verse 11, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. Verse 12, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger who is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Verse 14, and the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. This is a law. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So is this
the
law is this then a dispute between Moses and his wife? Because she ain't Hebrew. She's a Midianite. And so it ain't their custom to circumcise. So when the Lord met him, this is Yah through Moses getting rid of his son because he ain't following it, because they're going back to where Hebrews are, and he's gonna have an uncircumcised son. And so it's like it's a dispute. And so. So rather than have Moses kill her, she go ahead and circumcise his son and call him a bloody.
Well, so let's take Moses out of the scenario.
Okay.
It is Yah who was gonna kill him. Because when you look at verse 14, it says, and the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant.
I agree.
Okay.
But I'm saying through Moses. So it's just like, here's what I mean when I say that, based on what we read. Because anytime an angel do something or somebody do something, if Yah is the one that's doing it, that person don't always get credit. Because the reason why I say that is because she threw the foreskin at Moses' feet. She didn't throw it at nobody else's feet. That's why I'm saying, Was Moses the agent that Yah was using?
So let the scripture answer that question now. Now let's go back to the verse, because we now see that it was the son who was circumcised. We now understand according to the law in Genesis 17, verse 14, or the covenant that Yah made with Abraham, that every male child 8 days old had to be circumcised. You're correct. The poor was a Midianite, who, as we will see her mentality, but from watching what takes place, we'll see how the event how the event went and what and how it took place. So let's go here again, verse 24. And it came to pass by the way in the end that Yah met him. Yah met Moses. That's him. So Yah met him, Moses, and sought to kill his son. See it? Because you have to him in verse 24, and you have a he or to him in verse 26. So when we look at it in the scripture, we'll see it what's going on. And it came to pass by the way in the end that Yah met Moses. So Yah met him. Yah met him, Moses, and sought to kill him, his son. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of a son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he, Moses, let him go. Because Moses holding him so she could circumcise him. So he let him go, colon. Then she said, a bloody husband art thou because of the circumcision. It lets you know that the let go and the circumcision is the reason for holding him. But she's so, like you said, it's not a part of that custom. She is so, she detested so much that she does a circumcision while she holds, because you don't know how old this boy is. And he's not used to this custom. He's like,
It ain't days.
And so he had to be a big boy enough for Moses to have to hold him to carry out that custom, because when God, meaning God, like, this boy is not going before my people and being your son. We don't know which son it was that was uncircumcised, you know, but he was uncircumcised and Moses held him until the poor was circumcised. That's why the colon is there. God was going to kill that boy. That's why God met him. So when you see to him, you see in verse 26, you see to him, okay, let me put on 24, you see to him, he met him, Moses, and sought to kill him, the boy. And you see it as it continue on with the conversation. Then the boy took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of a son. Why? Because in Genesis 17, verse 4, it says, an uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. God was like, you better deal with this, Moses. If you don't, I'm going to take him out before you get to my people with this uncircumcised boy. I know he's your boy, but the law, you are going back and leading the people, and I'm going to give you a law on how they're supposed to obey, and you better show, better be following the rules. God was going to kill that boy if Moses had not held him from the pole to cut it, and she was detested behind it, and thus she said the things that she did in those verse, you know, and she threw it at Moses' feet, and Moses let the boy go after she circumcised. Boy was like, we got to do this, or y'all going to kill it. Okay? Verse 24 again, as you look at it again, and it came to pass. So this is, time has passed by after Moses has given these instructions, after Yah has given Moses these instructions. Verse 24 said, it came to pass by the way in the end. This was based on a place where they, you know, would get our animals, drink, and a rest area, so to speak, that Yah met him, met Moses there and sought to kill his son. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son. You had something?
You
understand why you get to the next verse, why Moses had to hold him. You know, and Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of a son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. She was like, she hated it. You know, and then it says, so he, Moses, let him, his son, go. Colon. Then she said, because it's letting you know why she's calling him a bloody husband, because he had him circumcised. It was Moses' idea that said, look, we got to circumcise this boy. Y'all's going to kill him. And she, fearing for the life of her son, had to help Moses carry out the task, but it just, you know, she hated him for it, you know, for doing that. Verse 26, so he let him go. Moses let his son go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. And Yah said unto Aaron, go into the wilderness and meet Moses.
So implied that he wasn't with him.
He wasn't with him at the time. Yah said unto Moses, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of Yah and kissed him. So as you see, verse 27, you know how Yah deal with things. He's already sinned. And he tells Moses ahead of time that he's sending him, and he meets him at the mount of Yah, or vice versa. You know, either way it go, we know that he was told seated. You know, trying to figure out where. Verse 28, and Moses told Aaron all the words that Yah went. Of Yah who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel, and Aaron spake all the words which Yah had spoken unto Moses. He's speaking Hebrew to his people. And did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that Yah had visited the children of Israel, and he had looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads in worship. Now, if you go in the other chapter, chapter 5, you see Moses and Aaron and the elders went to Pharaoh. Moses and Aaron went inside, but all the elders of Israel were there, all in unison. They were unified. They were unified. They went with him. You see that in chapter 5. And so it wasn't like they were saying, well, you and Aaron just go, we're going to stay here. No, they got together, and they all went to Pharaoh, and Aaron and Moses went in. That's how it took. And so, I mean, that's how it went. And so, yeah. They were messing with me. Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
Is that
poor Yeah, I've been given the rod, and I gotta go before the elders of Israel. And when we all come together, that's when the system gonna be challenged to release the people of God. Okay. Yah has already given me the rod. Okay. And it's what's gonna cause the leaders of Israel to come together. Okay? And so, Elder Beth, women, I'm just going to go ahead and okay. All right. Any questions or comments? Thank you for your patience in dealing with this, but I just wanted to show you these two things. So now we understand it from the perspective of the scripture. And any questions or comments? We good? Okay. Father Yah, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for bringing us into this facet of understanding. We thank you for leading and guiding us in all truth. There's a question up here. Did you see it? Up here? I don't know if someone's asking a question or not.
I didn't see
it. Okay. I just see a one up there, like somebody had asked a question. Okay. Father, y'all, we just bless you. We thank you for bringing us into another facet of understanding. We just bless you for leading and guiding us in all truth. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen.
I know
that was
me, back.